The 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival is here from July 24th to August 2nd. This year, for the first time, it is available for you to view at home online. Head to nziff.co.nz to view the programme. Amanda Peter talked with director Max Curry about the film Rūrangi.
Max Curry, Rūrangi. Kia ora and welcome.
Thanks, Amanda. Lovely to be on the show.
Oh, this is so exciting. I love the hashtag by us and about us. I just thought about the importance of your own stories on screen and what support have you had to make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, by us and about us comes from the fact that most of the trans stories I've seen on screen are written by, directed by, and produced by people who aren't trans. Which is a real shame. And what makes Rūrangi so special is that the series is written by a trans writer. It's co-produced by a trans person, and we've got trans talent in front of the camera and behind the camera, and that's definitely like a world first in New Zealand.
And you're getting to play in an actual live theatre for this.
Yeah, so Rūrangi is part of the New Zealand International Film Festival. It's coming out online. You might have heard that the film festival this year is online, but they've also recently announced a whole lot of theatrical screenings as well. So we get to see Rūrangi on the big screen, and it's 5 episodes, and they're going to sort of make it like a binge session. So it's going to be 96 minutes in the theatre, and it's playing at the Lumiere Saturday, July 25th at 8:15 p.m.
Wow.
Great slot.
That's exciting too, because I imagine that that was one of the things that that fascinated me about the film, was the kind of trans communities often living, small intimate communities within our community, and so this screening will give people an opportunity to be part of a broader community.
Totally. I mean, you can turn out and wave the flag if you want, but I mean, what's interesting about Rūrangi, in terms of the story and the world in which it's set, it's this amazing mashup of genderqueer characters, trans characters, and rural New Zealand. I mean, the story takes place in the town of Rūrangi, which is this very remote dairy community in New Zealand, most of the characters are from that town, because the story is about a trans activist called Kaz Davis, who's been in Auckland having this awesome life. He's got like friends, he's got this amazing job, but he has a secret, which is that he's a secret lover of this national rugby hero, this huge rugby icon, and when that relationship kind of, something really bad happens, I don't want to give it away.
No.
And Kaz spins out of control, and for the first time since transitioning, wants to reach out to his father and his friends from back home, and he hasn't seen any of them for 10 years. And I've never got to meet him as a man. So when he sort of first steps foot in Rūrangi, it creates all sorts of shockwaves through the community. And it's fascinating to see this mashup between, it's queer, trans, gender diverse people, and all these characters from like rural New Zealand, which people are going to recognise.
I thought it was fascinating. I work in a community that's got maybe 2 more hicks in the town than Rūrangi, but I work with teenagers, and so
right.
I see this contest around identity and acceptance and just having a space to exist without labels as being a hugely profound kind of mundane activity that causes so much anxiety. It delighted me that Rūrangi was set in that kind of space, because it really showed the intimate grit of attempting to transition and have connection with the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm from a small town. A medium-sized town, Palmerston North. I like, so I'm not trans, but I'm gay, and I sort of, you know, in terms of filtering, you know, this story and these characters through, you know, my experience, you know, I can really identify with the very first time, you know, I saw a movie with a main gay character in it, and just that moment where you see yourself on screen and you recognize yourself. And you know, that's so vitally important for all of our kind of gender diverse and gender queer kids and teenagers and people in rural New Zealand as well as the cities, because often in the big cities you're just going to be able to, you know, reach out and find, you know, those role models. But I know if you know the further away you go, they can be harder to find. So in terms of like your work with young people, I totally hear you on the importance of those role models and just how exciting it is to see them on screen.
And just how exciting it was. I found it was so exciting to see kind of positivity, but also negotiation, the fact that you can negotiate a new path, that it doesn't have to be, you know, all or nothing. I think so at some point someone says, you do you, do it safe,
yeah.
You do you.
Yeah.
And I thought how profound that would be to see, to be a young person, or to be anybody actually, and just think about that idea.
Yeah. Well, I think all of us to a certain extent, in some way or another, break away from home, break away from our families, to figure out who we are. You know, and it's this process we all go through. And certainly, I mean, you know, when I was a student at university, there was a big part of it was like, you know, fuck, who am I, you know, when I'm not surrounded by all these people that have, you know, kind of known me since I was a baby. And in that way, you know, the story is really universal. You know, so one of our characters, you know, well, one of our main characters is trans. So in terms of his journey, you know, that sort of breaking away from home and then coming back home is part of it. And one of the things, you know, Cole, the writer, was saying, the sort of tagline is like, coming out may be hard, but coming home is even harder.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then, you know, some of our other main characters, you know, there's a character, Anne Hedda.
Yeah.
And, you know, her...
I was just going to talk about that. Let's
talk about Anne Hedda. I think
Anne Hedda is... I loved the narrative about Anne Hedda, about... it was really refreshing to see the struggle with te reo and identity framed around that conversation. Someone accuses her of being a plastic Māori. I thought, as someone who's doing te reo and, you know, and you're constantly struggling in your brain to switch the vowel sounds from, you know, what you've just heard your whole life into what it's supposed to be. I just thought that was really, really, I thought all of the characters were beautiful, really beautiful, except for the mayor, who I did.
Well, we've got plans for the mayor because, this is sort of like, you know, the first chapter of this much bigger world, which, you know, we hope we get the chance to kind of, you know, keep going. But, you know, in terms of, you know, Anne Hedda's character, this is something that I think, you know, a lot of, you know, certainly a lot of my Māori friends can relate to, is there can be this real shame about not being Māori enough, about not being able to, you know, speak Māori well enough. And, you know, there's that line in Rurangi, which I just love. I think it's so beautiful. And it's from actually the te reo teacher. And she says, you know, at first we were meant to feel shame for speaking our language. Now, you know, we're meant to feel shame for not speaking it. You know, who does our shame benefit? And, you know, just in terms of Anne Hedda's storyline, to be able to get to that question is just really profound. And I think, you know, for anyone that has any kind of experience of shame out there, it's one of the big obstacles in the story that we see all these characters overcome in different ways. And, you know, for anyone who's feeling shame, I think it's always a great question to ask yourself. It's like, actually, who does my shame benefit here? You know, who benefits from my shame? And it's a great way to kind of throw light on the way that shame is often used to kind of like hold people back or hold people down. And certainly in Rurangi, we get to see what happens when people shrug that off. kind of blossom.
Fantastic. It's fantastic because it's such a well-developed narrative. The people involved, you really feel for them. And it's interesting because I only watched Disclosure. My daughter had put me onto Disclosure like about 3 or 4 weeks earlier, and I'd been having a conversation with a dear friend of mine about how it wasn't until we saw that piece in Disclosure where people are physically sick at the discovery of trans, and how powerful and how undermining that kind of Hollywood trope, that sort of very regressive, cruel kind of trope has been. And so to see the Rurangi, I just thought, oh my gosh, you know, I can't wait. I can't wait for young adults to actually to see this, to be part of the story.
I mean, you're absolutely right, Amanda. And kind of talking about Disclosure is a fantastic way to kind of, you know, frame the space that we're telling the story in, because that's the moment in Disclosure where they do like a supercut, I think, of, you know, people being physically sick after an interaction with a trans person, and it's so stupid and it's so harmful, and it comes back to this problem in Hollywood and around the world of stories about, you know, trans characters who aren't, you know, written by or produced by, you know, there's no trans people in the telling of the story. And so, you know, we don't get to see trans people flourishing, or we don't get to see, like, you know, complex layers, interesting trans characters. And the big problem, you might recall from Disclosure, we don't have this statistic for New Zealand, but in the USA, they know that 80% of people don't have a transgender person in their families or workplace or wider lives that they know of. And so we're all learning about trans people through film and television and the media. So, you know, how trans people are portrayed on our screens has a really vital and direct connection to what we think about them and how we behave, you know, towards trans people. And so when we keep seeing these, like, ridiculous, harmful, damaging, you know, scenarios played out, it forms, you know, an impression of, you know, a group of people that's just completely false. And so Rurangi is really smashing through that, I think, and we're seeing these stories of, you know, we get to see like a beautiful romance between like Kaz and the bisexual Kaukauki. You know, we get to see, you know, parents telling their children that they love them, you know, and the writer Cole, you know, he often talks about the importance of these possibility models. And it's just so fresh and different. And I really feel, after seeing Disclosure myself for the first time a couple of weeks ago, you know, you can see how somehow Little New Zealand has created this show that's like right at the forefront of this movement, you know, for rights and dignity for gender diverse people. And, you know, I'm just so proud of it.
I am so proud of it too. And I am just coming in as a contented viewer. I can't wait to see where Rurangi is going to go. And I think because of the age of the internet, it's going to become, like you say, something that people can look at and see themselves in, and just that idea of hope and possibility is fantastic. And you, as a human, human beings can come and see this in a live theatre, the Lumiere. What day was it? Or was it the Saturday?
Yeah, so it's Saturday the 25th at the Lumiere at 8:15 p.m. And, like, just come along for an amazing, moving story, and it's like so recognisably New Zealand. You know, these characters in there, like the mayor who used to be like the maths teacher, like this like soul of the earth, like dad who, you know, barely says a couple of words, and then we get to this big breakthrough. Like, you know, these are Kiwi characters that everyone's going to recognise.
Totally. And, the humour, the deft touch, everything is just utterly adorable. Please pass on my heartfelt, you know, congratulations and thanks to everybody involved in this, because it's an astonishing thing, and it's such a...
Absolutely, Amanda. Thanks so much for your time.
Utterly thrilled. Cool. I'll see you later.
Okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
the 2020 Whānau Marama New Zealand International Film Festival from July 24th to August 2nd. Head to nziff.co.nz.